I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We've been looking at the book of Ruth in our Bible study on It's a Good Life. Today I'd like to continue our study in Ruth chapter 3. The book of Ruth is God's message of love, but you know the whole Bible is God's message of love. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we have the promise of a Savior. And God said that He was going to send a Savior. And in John chapter 4 and verse 10, we see that God sent the Savior. It says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And we read again in Galatians 4:4 where it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." This is God's love. And in John 3:17 it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And we see in these verses, and other verses in the Word of God, of God's love, that God sent His Son because of love. Well, we keep reading and we find out that Jesus came. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And this is Paul the Apostle speaking. When I feel that way, that Jesus came into the world to save me, the chiefest of sinners. When a person realizes their sin, that they're lost in their sin, and they need a Savior, Jesus is there. He's waiting to save that person. That's the reason He came into the world. Well, you know, we look at these verses that God sent and Jesus came, but what about the word gave? He could come and He could come into the world and leave the world, but He came for a specific purpose. God not only sent His Son, but God gave. Why? Because of love. The Bible is God's message of love. He loves the world. In John 3:16, that familiar verse says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We see that God gave His Son. He not only sent Him, He gave Him. God said, "Now it's time to go." And Jesus came. And God gave His Son. And we also see that Jesus gave. In Galatians 1:4, the Bible says, "Who gave Himself," this is Jesus, "who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." This is something that we often overlook. God not only sent, and Jesus not only came, but Jesus gave. God gave. God gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave His life that sinners could be saved and go to heaven. He gave His life, but thank God He didn't remain in that grave, did He? He came out of the grave that we could have eternal life and live forevermore. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by God's love, by Jesus' love, that we're able to say that one day we're going to be in the presence of God. So when I say the book of Ruth is God's message of love, well, that's true, but the whole book, the whole Bible, is actually God's message of love from Genesis through the book of Revelation. God loves. And today as we pick up our study in Ruth chapter 3, I want you to notice that this is poor Ruth, a destitute, forlorn, a bereaved, homeless, portionless widow we're speaking of here, Ruth. Think of the destitute circumstances of a bereaved sinner now when awakened to find out how deplorably he or she is ruined, utterly undone, under the fall. What's the fall? "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned." And we understand as we read and study the Word of God that the death spoken of here is not only a physical death, but it is a spiritual death, separated from God throughout all eternity. thank God once again, it's through God's love. He sent His Son. He gave His Son. Jesus gave His life. He's alive today. He rose from the dead. And because of that, a sinner can come to Jesus and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. So it is God's message of love, but we can compare this with Ruth as she came into this country, into Bethlehem, Judea, Judah, a place where she had never been before. She came into the land of the living, and I believe she was a saved woman because she gave up the world, Moab, to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, into the land of the living. And here in the land of the living, things were taking place and things were shaping up now that would lead us once again all through the book of Ruth, showing us about and telling us about God's love. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? We see in this verse to rest, serve, and to decide. There had to be something done here, and Naomi wanted to help Ruth find rest. And once again, throughout the Bible, we see this in Deuteronomy 12:9. It says, For ye are not as yet come into the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. We often ask ourselves as Christians, Lord, how long? How long must I live in this world? And when will I see you? Well, it's coming. As a Christian, you don't have to worry about that because one day we're going to see Jesus Christ as He is. And the Bible says that we're going to see Him as He is and we will be like Him. Why? Because our bodies are going to be raised incorruptible. Say, how's that going to happen? All I know is that God says it's going to happen, and God will take care of that, that we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. So we see that the rest comes not only after death of this body, but rest is right now. We could rest in the Lord and understand that He is the one who gives the rest. And that rest comes by trusting Him and relying upon Him and say, Lord, I trust You, and I know that whatever You say is going to take place. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This not only has to do with the unsaved person, but it has to do with the saved individual today. God loves us, and He wants us to know that we can have that rest, laying our burdens upon Him. Well, Ruth, Naomi not only wanted Ruth to find rest, to help her find rest, but Ruth had to decide whom she would serve. In Joshua 24:15, Joshua said this, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whom lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We live in a land that is not our home, saved person. We are here, and we need to make a decision. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the gods of this world, or are we going to serve God, the Creator, our Savior? We need to be as Joshua, as he said, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to serve the gods of this world. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm going to serve my Lord, the one who gave Himself for me and died for me, and He's alive today that I can have eternal life. Well, Ruth, she had to decide whom she would serve, and so do we. And Ruth had to decide what she wanted, and so do we. James 1:8 says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, I deal with individuals, and I ask them, are you on your way to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? And sometimes that answer will come back, well, I believe there's more than one way to go to heaven. Well, that's not true. And sometimes I'll get the answer, well, you know, I believe you can go to heaven that way, but, you know, there's possibly some other ways that you can go to heaven, or I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm still trying to decide. Well, once again, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. That person needs to come to the realization that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2 goes on to say, And now is not Boaz our kindred. This is Naomi speaking to Ruth again. She says, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. We see in this verse that the kindred, and that's Boaz, would be on the threshing floor that night. Well, Boaz was Naomi's and Ruth's kindred, according to the Word of God. Christ is our kindred. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Jesus Christ is our kindred. He is the one who is the one who redeemed us. And the Bible says about Christ, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, that's the threshing floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Luke chapter 3, verse 17 says that. Now, notice the word winnoweth in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2. Winnoweth means to remove chaff from the grain, to examine something, to remove bad parts, to examine something in order to remove the bad, unusable, or undesirable parts. And I want you to know today that no sin will ever enter into heaven. No unsaved person will ever enter into heaven. No unsaved, ungodly person has eternal life, but are, as the Bible says, like the chaff which the wind driveth away, Psalm 1:4. And the Bible says, you're here today and gone tomorrow. Well, the Bible says of the unsaved, therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 3. You need to receive Christ as your Savior if you've never done that. You need to say, Lord, I know I'm a lost sinner. I know I can't save myself. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sin. I know you can save me because the Bible says so, and I'm believing your word. Please save me today. Come into my heart. If you'll pray a prayer something like that, the Bible says that you'll be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as you confess your sin, say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. That's confessing your sin. That's coming to Jesus Christ. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's you. If you've trusted the Lord today, you're saved and you are on your way to heaven. That's God's love.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.